We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome into today's edition of the PHNX D-Back Show, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one rated sportsbook app. As always, I'm Jesse Friedman, the Vice Mayor, the Thunderstick, and I'm joined by what kind of appears like Derek Montilla.
I'm Derek Montilla, the mayor here at PHNX, here to talk wrestling. And
that sounds
baseball.
About right. That sounds about right. Yeah, you resemble Derek entirely too much in this moment. we are, of course, delighted to be joined by the one and only Danielle Cortez, who is a photographer who takes pictures for us and the D-backs and basically everyone in the universe, as far as I'm concerned. Also a professor at Cronkite, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently. That's what they say. Thank you all for joining us here for this afternoon's show. We have a lot of great stuff to get to. We're going to talk some Evan Longoria and some comments from Mike Hazen. We just spoke with both of those people earlier today as the Diamondbacks made the Evan Longoria signing official. But before we get to that, I feel like this has become a daily thing on the show where we have to catch up with the latest rumors on Carlos Correa because this story is just wild and all over the place. So yesterday, John Heyman of the New York Post reported that Carlos Correa's camp is in touch with at least one other team as talks with the New York Mets have stalled. He did say that one of those teams is the Minnesota Twins, which we sort of suspected, of course, that the team that Carlos Correa played with last year, which I'm convinced some people still don't recognize that Carlos Correa was a member of the Minnesota Twins last year. But he, in fact, was. They had offered 10 years and $285 million in the past, which figures to be a somewhat competitive offer at this point. Danielle, how do we feel about this Carlos Correa nonsense that's happening right now?
I have no idea how to feel about this. You remember the night, like we all remember the night. It was like, what, 1 a.m?
Yeah.
When the
tweet came out.
All Mets
fans were asleep at the time.
Yeah. It's like, 3 a.m. down in New York. And it's like Carlos Correa signs with the Mets.
Right.
And I don't know, man. it's crazy. I don't know. I really don't know. It's wild. It's so much fun. I love that we finally have some news, chaotic news that isn't the Arizona Cardinals that we can talk about.
Fair. Fair.
It's great. And for all that's going on in the world, I think it's really fun to have a little chaos that is pretty inconsequential.
It's been kind of entertaining, right? You see Steve Cohen come out and make the comments that he did. And then, of course, all of this has happened, and it looks like kind of a similar situation to the San Francisco Giants, which reportedly also agreed to a deal with Carlos Correa not that long ago. I did think it was interesting in this story. John Heyman quoted one Mets person. We're obviously not sure who this person is exactly, but this Mets person said, "Ultimately, I don't think Mr. Cohen is going to let him go." And that seems to be kind of the overarching storyline here, is that yes, there's some messiness to this situation. The medical issues with Carlos Correa are apparently serious because two teams have found it at this point. The Giants were not as crazy as some people might have thought they were. But it seems like at the end of the day, Steve Cohen is going to stand his ground here. And even if there's some risk, Steve Cohen has taken on all sorts of risks this offseason. Clearly, he's not a very risk-averse individual. So I think at the end of the day, we're kind of all expecting this to happen. Heyman also talked about in this story that Scott Boras has had several clients in past years have somewhat similar situations. JD Martinez, that deal that he signed with the Boston Red Sox after the 2017 season, of course, a heartbreaking development for the D-backs at the time when JD walked and became a member of the Red Sox. There were some provisions in that contract that were similar, giving the Red Sox some insurance in case a particular injury issue popped up. JD Drew, also with the Boston Red Sox back in the day, apparently there were some similar language. So the idea seems to be, and we've talked about this before, you basically just put some insurance provisions in this contract so that if this particular issue, which is his right ankle, if this issue causes Carlos Correa to miss some time, then maybe part of the deal isn't guaranteed. And that's kind of the approach they seem to be taking here.
Yeah, remember back when we thought that the D-backs were letting JD Martinez walk because they were going to sign Goldie and AJ to an extension?
Right.
Oh,
it was,
man.
Yeah, it was kind of like a pick which times. One you want to extend. We thought they had room for one of them, but not all of them. And then they wound
and
up
then,
not
oh,
bringing
boy.
Back any of them.
Oh, boy.
difficult memories for D-backs.
I love
fans.
The mystery around this whole story.
Yeah.
There's literally no insight that anybody could offer to this, and it's just so much fun. Like
this is honestly the first story that has really come out about this in like more than a week that offered anything of substance beyond like the initial very little news has come out about this. But good on John Heyman for digging past that and finding at least a little bit more information. Ultimately, though, I still think we're in agreement that Carlos Correa will probably be a New York Met at the end of the day. Might just be sort of a matter of time on that. Switching gears here over to the D-back side of things, I mentioned earlier, the deal with Evan Longoria is officially official. Before we get into anything else, Danielle, just your thoughts on Evan Longoria coming to the D-backs. What's your take on this move?
I like it. I mean, you look at it's 1 year, $4 million.
Yeah.
I don't see a downside. Like,
feels reasonable.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he's older, obviously. His numbers have been dipping quite a bit lately. But again, at 1 year, $4 million, what's the downside? If he plays well, you got a great deal. If he doesn't, then don't play him.
No,
right?
No such thing as a bad 1 year contract.
Yeah, don't play him or trade him or whatever. Like, there's no downside to it. He brings a lot of he brings a great veteran presence. You know, one of the things that I feel like the D-backs have been missing, you go back to 2017, when they had a fairly young team and somebody like Gregor Blanco or Chris Iannetta was there. Didn't necessarily produce like you thought they might, but they brought in a presence that I think Evan Longoria can bring as well. He commands a lot of respect.
He absolutely does. Yeah, I did some research on this, and honestly, my mind was blown, and hopefully your mind will be blown too by this. Evan Longoria has 58.1 career wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. Pretty big number. If you look at every position player who has ever played for the Arizona Diamondbacks, there's only one player who has accumulated more wins above replacement in their career. Only one position player, I should say, has accumulated more wins above replacement in their career than Evan Longoria. That, of course, being Paul Goldschmidt, right? We know that. They're very close, though. Paul Goldschmidt is at 58.5. Evan Longoria is at 58.1. So prior to the 2022 season, which, of course, was a huge year for Goldie, Longoria actually had a pretty healthy lead in that regard. But yeah, Longoria is I know he's not the player that he once was. Obviously, you know, he's 37 years old. He's not going to be the guy he was back in Tampa. But this is like low key one of the more legendary players who has ever played baseball. I mean, he was an incredible third baseman, especially during his time in Tampa. He's had a couple nice years with the San Francisco Giants of late as well. Of course, the million-dollar question here is what will his role be with the Arizona Diamondbacks? Did they bring him in to basically take over for Josh Rojas at third base? Or is there maybe some room for balance here? So we have a clip from Mike Hazen talking about Longoria's role within the organization and what that might look like in 2023.
I don't have an idea of an at-bats, but yes, we talked with Evan about that, you know, given where he's moving into his career, that I don't know that 550, 600 plate appearances is the best way to maximize his contributions to our team. Having said that, I don't know what the upper bound is necessarily going to be. We still very much like Josh Rojas, and Josh is going to play a lot and is going to be a big part of our infield as well. So they're going to complement each other, I think, at third base to some degree. And then, you know, Josh is obviously going to ended up playing a lot of second base for us last year and may play some second base for us, giving us opportunity between Josh, Evan, Cattell, others to utilize that DH role at times. And there'll be others probably in that mix, the outfielders, et cetera, you know, Pavin. Maybe allowing us to give Christian a few more days off than we did last year, at least off his feet. There will be a lot of flexibility for us to be able to maneuver around all those spots.
As Elizabeth said in the chat, from the shadows, yes. Nobody ever accused Mike Hazen of having the best lighting during his in-office press conferences. But yeah, the idea here, the takeaway from Hazen is that this appears to be sort of a platoon role. I was surprised Evan Longoria actually used the word platoon when he was talking about the role that's been described to him. So he talked about his role kind of starting with a platoon with Josh Rojas at third base. And then, you know, maybe there's some room for him to fill in at DH and other spots on the roster as well. So for everyone who is concerned, you know, did you just bring in a 37-year-old to, you know, just take playing time away from Josh Rojas? I don't think that's the case. It seems like the D-backs are kind of viewing this as a platoon situation over at third. Josh Rojas, rather, has not hit lefties particularly well in his career, whereas Longoria had very good numbers against lefties a year ago. Danielle, do you think that maybe puts some fans' minds at ease knowing that, okay, you know, we're not bringing in Longoria to be 2011 Evan Longoria, right? This is a different role.
Yeah, you know, I would hope it would, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a different situation. When they signed Evan Longoria, my first thought was it 2013? I think it was. When they brought in Eric Chavez. Expected to be, you know, everyday third baseman.
Yeah.
He was about age, pretty similar, like, career credentials,
That's
right?
That's a great comp. I didn't think about that.
And he wasn't that guy anymore, right? Like, we wanted him to be the old Eric Chavez of his Oakland A's.
He was still pretty good.
I mean, very good, right?
2013, you nailed it with the year. 2013, he hit .281, .332, .478 for the D-backs. 9 homers, 44 RBIs. Only played 80 games, which I guess is somewhat similar to what you're expecting from Longoria. But yeah, that's a great comp.
You're kind of expecting him to be that sort of guy.
Yeah.
Platooning, he's obviously, you know, 37 years old. He's not the everyday player that he used to be anymore.
Sure.
And he compliments Josh Rojas really well, right? He hits lefties. Josh Rojas doesn't necessarily hit lefties.
Right. Not yet.
He's a Gold Glove caliber defender. Josh Rojas struggled at third last year.
He was a Gold Glove caliber defender. Whether Evan Longoria
is still... he's 37 years old, maybe playing third base. Maybe not anymore. But, you know, you don't lose the glove. He's still fine. He can still make the plays.
He does still have a glove here. Yeah, he does still own a glove.
I think he complements the D-backs really well. I think he's a great fit for what they're trying to do, right? It's a young group. They need that veteran leadership to push them over the edge, because they got a really good, talented group.
They really do. And Mike Hazen also talked about that. One of the other reporters made a comment about this move feeling like something that kind of ups the floor of the team rather than the ceiling.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily expecting Evan Longoria to come in and, you know, hit 35 homers and 100 RBIs or anything like that at this point in his career. And it's kind of been a trend for a lot of the moves the D-backs have made this offseason. It feels like, at least for 2023, there's some long-term ceiling, you know, especially with a guy like Gabby Moreno and whatnot. But for 2023, a lot of the moves they've made feel like, you know, kind of insurance policies, making sure you have depth around the roster. They've made a couple moves in the bullpen. But Mike Hazen spoke about just the ceiling of this team and how it might be even a little bit higher than we might think right now.
I think Lourdes getting back to 2021 raises the ceiling. I think Moreno taking a step forward in the position that he is raises the ceiling. So I don't think that it's 100-0. I do think the outside acquisitions in aggregate, the bullpen, if it becomes not the 28th to 31st performing bullpen, we've raised the ceiling on our team. I think Ryan Nelson, Dre Jameson, Brandon Pfaadt, Tommy Henry, Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy, you know, that group of players, Cattell, getting back to Cattell, you know, Perdomo taking a step forward, that group of players, Josh Rojas pushing the envelope defensively at third base and around the infield, like those areas for us, if those things improve, I think there's some ceiling to where we can go.
There's some ceiling here, apparently. And yeah, Mike Hayes in the lighting. It's still, it just gets me. It gets me every time at this office. We need to get him a ring light or something. But yeah, I think what he's talking about here is pretty compelling, not just in the, you know, the long-term future where you hope this team has ceiling, but even in 2023, this team is projected to win about 84, 85 games based on some of the publicly available projection systems. But all those names that Hazen just listed off, and I think it's just kind of cool maybe as a fan to just hear Hazen kind of dream a little bit on the future of this team and even potentially the present of this team in 2023 and how good maybe they could be.
Yeah, I mean, they're a young team. Last year, they showed, you know, they showed a lot of promise. There was,
yeah,
they
really did.
I'm sure you were at the at Corbin Carroll's debut. There was
That was one of the coolest days at the ballpark.
There was a vibe there where it's
there
like
was a vibe.
This
there
is
was
it.
That, undoubtedly
like this is it. There's actually a future here that we can look forward to. And you know, their problem was they're really young. How do you solve that problem? You give them time. And so another year under the belt, more at bats is never a bad thing for a young team. And
no.
Who knows? They're, like we said, they're super talented. This is a really fun and exciting team. So give them another year and who knows? Like, excited. I am legitimately excited about what this team can do. And, you know, they might make the playoffs.
I've been telling people
they're making the playoffs, so I'll just say it right now. D-backs are making the playoffs this year.
Well, you're not nearly as crazy as Jacob Franklin, who just walked in the room, who, when we had him on the show yesterday, his DraftKings pick of the week was to bet on the Arizona Diamondbacks to win the World Series.
Heck yeah. Of course, entirely rational
and reasonable as Jacob stops in now. Would you like to defend yourself a little bit, Jacob? Is that why you're here?
You are just a killer of dreams.
That is correct.
The Reaper
can confirm
of rewards.
Okay, all right. I like how that ended. That took a nice turn for the
let
positive.
The people dream, Jesse.
I will at least allow Eli in the comments to dream. Eli said the D-backs are going to win the World Series or are going to the World Series. I get maybe he's not quite as crazy optimistic as Jacob. Eli is much more rational. But yeah, you can't help but hear that clip from Mike Hazen and kind of be like, oh. This team really might have something moving forward, and obviously we've known that, but just hearing Hazen talk about that, I think is pretty cool to hear. Are you coming to the inaugural PHNX tea party, Danielle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you better be. I'll give you all the information right now in case you don't know everything about it. Join us at the inaugural PHNX tea party presented by Four Peaks. We'll be out at the Dobson Ranch Golf Course. We are renting out the entire driving range. Come hang with Big Drive Energy, the PHNX crew, and fellow diehards for a night of golf, free food, drinks, contests, prizes, and more. Our PHNX Suns crew will be hosting a watch party for the Suns versus Timberwolves game. I have a feeling people will be maybe watching like their show before the game happens. And then once the game starts, people might just kind of creep away because the Suns are just difficult to watch at this particular point. at least for me. Our friends at Four Peaks will also be out there providing beer samples and swag. So check the link in the description to reserve your spot right now. And for our diehards, check Discord for your special link where you'll save 20% on this awesome event. Danielle, we're counting on you being there. No pressure.
I'm there. Done.
Okay. All right. Good. I will be playing ping pong, at least attempting to play ping pong and defend the crazy amount of pride. I've talked quite a bit of trash about my ping pong skills. To this point, as Max gives me a death stare through the window here. But we're going to have a whole lot of fun out there. Even if you're not like a hardcore golfer, which I am not whatsoever, I'm honestly so bad. I'm just so dreadfully bad at golf. But I can play ping pong at least a little bit. And Derek is here to say in the chat that Jesse will beat you in ping pong, which, apparently we're continuing to go with that narrative. Derek, who's that guy in the chat? I'm pretty sure
somebody pretending to be me.
Somebody is impersonating you in the chat. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what's happening.
But anyway, be sure to join us out there at the Dobson Ranch Golf Course. That's next Friday, Friday the 13th, which is
I know.
It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate the way the scheduling worked out.
I'm inexplicably good at ping pong.
Really?
I'm really good at ping pong.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Now I'm really uncomfortable.
I lack confidence in a lot of areas in my life. Playing ping pong ain't one of them.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's kind of what I said, but you said it with way more confidence than I think I ever have. So now I'm kind of terrified. But at this point, you can no longer really be impersonating Derek, because Derek, he's not that good at ping pong. He would never talk about his own ping pong skills like that. We're going to transition here into some conversation about the rule changes coming to Major League Baseball in 2023. Major League Baseball will not be the same this year, Danielle. There's a lot of things happening, a lot of changes coming to the game, which I personally think are pretty much all good things. I think we're kind of excited to see what this looks like. Elizabeth is calling for a ping pong fight. and Max says, I will mollywop Jesse in ping pong.
I'm here for ping pong trash talk. I am here for it.
I'm just terrified at what I've done. I've said all of these things that I know I'm going to regret saying. And Max is
my ping pong table. It's a real thing.
I have seen Max's ping pong table.
Garage.
You have one in your garage.
I have one in my garage. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's another level. You know that when someone's like sacrificing their garage, like you're willing to not like have a place to like park your car or store things.
We have a two car garage.
You have a two car garage.
It's a one car garage, and it's a one car and one ping pong table garage.
Okay, so there you go. That's the best kind of garage.
The essentials. Yeah,
the essentials. Fine. That's what garages are for. But yes, be sure to join us next Friday. We would love to see you out there. As I was saying, lots of things changing about baseball in 2023. We have a graphic that shows kind of a rundown of all of the things. We're not going to talk about everything here at once. One of the biggest changes is the shift restrictions. This has gotten a lot of conversation around the game. For those of you who haven't seen the official rules, we have it for you in this graphic on the screen. There are three main parts to the shift restrictions. The first one being that all four infielders must be on the infield dirt when the pitcher is on the rubber. Secondly, infielders may not switch sides. So a lot of times you see teams try to put their best defender on the pull side every time in order to, you know, try to put their best defender where the ball is likely to be hit. And then four-man outfield formations are prohibited. So they have some provisions in there to keep teams from just completely breaking everything we know about baseball. Initial thoughts, Danielle, on just kind of the future of the game and how the shift restrictions in particular will impact this.
For the most part, I'm on board.
Okay.
I love the four-man outfield like ban, because it applies to two people, right? Like,
yeah, fair.
The only people this affects are Joey Gallo and DJ LeMahieu when he plays the D-backs.
Right, like, DJ LeMahieu when he plays the D-backs.
That's it. But other than that, I like it. I feel like an old man at Arizona Fall League complaining about the player's hair getting too long when I see the faces, or it's like. No, you've been down on the field at Arizona Fall League.
Yeah.
The bases look ridiculous. And for me,
don't know what you're talking about. What's ridiculous about that?
They're huge.
They're huge?
They're so big.
Oh, because they're using the bigger ones.
Big,
yeah, they use the bigger ones.
I hate that. But you know, I get it, and I'm down with it, but I just hate how it looks aesthetically. Yeah. It's a terrible look. It reminds me of like those Little League bases where you have like the orange base on the outside where the runner has to hit. And I just hate it. I hate it, but I get it.
So not a fan of the bigger bases.
I'm not
a
fan.
We'll talk about that.
I'm a fan of the idea. I'm not a fan of the execution.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause when I played baseball, I was a little player. I stole bases. I am all for stealing bases. I love base running. Is my favorite thing to do in the entire world.
I think it's like one of the most exciting parts of the game.
Yeah.
Like,
I love it. So anytime you can get back to that, I am down with it.
Yeah.
The shift is good. Down with the shift. I guess there's a part of me that's like, hit different, adjust your swing, whatever.
Right.
But then also it's just like we're way past that point. There are no more Tony Gwynns in this league other than maybe DJ LeMahieu, right?
Like Stephen Kwan. I don't know.
Yeah, they just don't exist anymore. It's a different era of baseball. So I get it.
Yeah, it really is.
The pitch clock is the one that's really interesting to me.
Can we pull up the graphic? pitch clock. So real quick.
You've got a 30-second timer between batters. You've got a 15-second timer between pitches when the bases are empty. 20-second timer between pitches when runners are on base. And then pitchers are limited to two disengagements, which is like a pickoff or a step off per plate appearance. You like this?
Yeah. Yes and no. I think the time of games are great. You know, I worked in Arizona Fall League game a couple years ago. That was an hour and a half. Phenomenal.
Whoa.
It was an hour and a half, 10-inning game. It was like an hour, 15 minutes before they went into the extra innings. It was phenomenal.
That's wild.
But at the same time, I cannot imagine some pitchers going along with this. Like, can you imagine Max Scherzer getting called for a pitch clock violation?
Yeah.
Like, I cannot wait for that day.
Yeah. There are going to be some players throwing tantrums on the pitching mound. Yeah. I think we're all prepared for that.
And it's interesting because it affects Zach Allen. It affects the D-backs pretty heavily because, you know, if you've watched Zach Allen at all,
the man is very slow.
When a runner gets on, game's over. Like, it you know, you sit the old adage, like, or the old cliche, like, it grinds to a halt. It does not grind to a halt. It immediately stops. It is game over. You know, my friends in the photo, well, we always had like this bet going, like, over under how many times does Zach Gallen throw over. Most I ever saw him throw over was 11 times
in a game.
One inning. It'll be interesting to see how he adjusts, because that's a big part of his game, right? When he gets a runner on, his job is to throw everybody off their rhythm.
Yeah. It's funny to say, like, you know, for a pitcher of his caliber, like, a big part of his game is throwing to first for no reason.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of is, right?
Like, you watch, you know, it's really funny. You can find a rhythm, right?
Yeah.
First pickoff attempt, he's just lobbing it over there. There's literally no point to it.
A lot
second
of them
one,
are not serious.
And then it just gets progressively, like, more serious. So it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts to it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the biggest one in my mind, I think. There's going to be an adjustment period across all of baseball, especially for this one. Pitchers are not going to be happy about this. There's no question that when the pitch clock was brought up, pitchers were not on board. I think the Players Association at large was not really on board with any of these rule changes. But the reality is, in order for baseball to kind of take this next step forward, those kinds of adjustments are going to be necessary. And these are the best athletes in the world. I think you're pretty convinced that you give them enough time, they'll adapt. And Zach Callen will. He was pretty darn good before the pitch clock, and it'll probably be pretty darn good after the pitch clock, even if it might take him a little while to kind of figure those things out. In minor league baseball, when they implemented the pitch clock, game times decreased by about 25 minutes, which is significant. It's not going to make games last an hour and 15 minutes, I don't think. But, I mean, baseball games have just gotten significantly longer over the last 30, 40, 50 years. This isn't really like, fans today can't handle the slow pace of baseball. Yeah. It's like, well, back in the 50s, baseball games were not this long.
Yeah,
right?
They also didn't have like 3-minute long commercial breaks.
Right, right. There's also that a lot of things have changed over the years. So in a lot of ways, this is kind of just getting the length of baseball games back to where it used to be not that long ago. Games have just gotten considerably longer for a variety of reasons. And I think another part of this, kind of going back to the shift real quick, is there should be more balls in play. There should be just more action. There should be more balls that go through for hits, especially for left-handed hitters. I wrote a deep dive about this over on gophnx.com, where I walked through all of the D-backs hitters and, you know, who would be the biggest beneficiaries, who would maybe be hurt a little bit by some of these things. And I think they have several players who could benefit a lot from the shift restrictions that are being put into place, mainly because they just have so many lefties, right?
Yeah.
it feels like it's all lefties. They've kind of fixed that this offseason, but there's still a lot of lefties there. So guys like, you know, Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy, I think it's likely that you'll see a benefit for them. Probably would have seen a benefit for Dalton Varsho. Of course, he's now over in Toronto, so the D-backs won't necessarily get to see that. But all in all, I think these changes are just going to make baseball more fun at the end of the day. And it's like,
that's never a bad thing.
That is never a bad thing. And to what you were talking about earlier about base running and how, like, that's just such a big part of the game and something that people really enjoy. The pitch clock stuff, and especially the limit on the number of pickoffs, is really going to help the running game across all of baseball. I wrote about this as well over on gophnx.com. I made some absurd claims about how Jake McCarthy could steal 60 bases, and I don't think that's like that outrageous if you look at how many stolen bases he had during his last stint in the majors last year. And you like extrapolate that over a full season and then factor in a little bit of an uptick due to the rule changes, you might have just some bonkers, some bonkers things. Not only for McCarthy, you've obviously got Alec Thomas, who runs a little bit. Maybe he takes a little bit of a step forward this year. Of course, Corbin Carroll ran a decent amount when he was in the minor leagues. This team is just going to be fun. I mean, they were fun to watch run the bases last year. That's just going to get more accentuated in 2023.
Yeah, and the D-backs play an old school brand of baseball, right? You know, they didn't hit a lot of home runs last year, which is really the style and the era of baseball that we're in right now.
Right.
They got on base. They stole bases. It was fun.
Yeah.
And so this is really going to help them, I feel like. You know, more stolen bases, never a bad thing in baseball.
No. You think there's is there like an upper bound? Like if we had players stealing like 100 bases, would it be like, okay, maybe.
It's like,
maybe
okay, let's go back to the regular bases, I guess. I don't know. Like Corbin Carroll might push that. Who knows? It'll be fun to see. Corbin, like, you know, you watch Corbin Carroll in person. You think he moves on TV? That man moves in real life.
It's unlike anything. It's unlike anything that I've really seen, at least in a baseball game. I mean, there's some very fast people, especially in other sports. But yeah, I mean, it's just wild watching that man run the bases. He didn't even steal much last year.
No.
I think he had 2 stolen bases. Yeah. He was pretty conservative, I think, you know, makes sense. First stint
he's
in the
young
big
guy.
Leagues.
He's looking, he's, you know, he's trying to keep his spot on the team, right?
Yeah.
Now that he knows he's a major leaguer, right?
Right.
He has that assurance. He's going to be an everyday player.
Yeah.
Go wild, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with his speed, I think D-backs fans are already kind of obsessed with watching Corbin Carroll run the bases. And hopefully that just gets all the more in 2023. But yeah, there's definitely going to be some changes up and down the roster. If you really want the deep dive perspective on these things, go check out a couple of articles that I wrote over at gophnx.com. If you are not a diehard, be sure to become one. That's how you get access to those articles, which were diehard only pieces. So you have to be a diehard in order to get access to a few things over at gophnx.com. We give away a lot for free now, but not quite everything. Those deep dives, you will have to be a diehard. And you not only get that content from me, but you also get it from Gerald Bourget, who covers the Suns, from Craig Morgan covering the Coyotes, Howard Balzer covering the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of great content over at gophnx.com. So be sure to become a diehard if you have not already. There's other perks too. You get a free shirt or hat every single year. You also get 20% off merch and events, as is the case with the PHNX Tea Party. So maybe now is a good time to become a diehard if you're planning on coming to the event anyway. We would love for you to do that. Become a diehard today, and you can do so at gophnx.com/diehard. Have you spent any time on the DraftKings Sportsbook app?
Daniel, I have not.
It's kind of like it's one of those things where you know, especially this particular time of year when there isn't baseball to bet on. It's like,
well,
baseball's the best sport.
Yeah,
right?
Baseball's the best sport. But I was an MLB employee, so I wasn't legally allowed
to bet
on.
That's fair. That's fair.
On baseball. So
that is the most valid answer to that question that anyone could have ever given.
I am all for it.
There you go. There you go. If you haven't already downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app, be sure to do so. The NBA season is indeed heating up. Baseball will be heating up soon, but the NBA right in the thick of things right now, even though the Suns
NBA not. Season is heating up. The Suns are very much
the
not.
Suns are cooling off considerably. but there's a lot of great bets to be had over at the DraftKings Sportsbook app if you're not an employee of Major League Baseball. So make sure it's legal before you do it. But download the app now, sign up with the code PHNX, place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code PHNX only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. If you missed yesterday's show, we gave several DraftKings picks of the week. One of them was Jacob Franklin selecting the Diamondbacks to win the World Series, but me and Sean DePaz gave some more reasonable bets that you might want to consider. The last rule change, Danielle, which you alluded to earlier, is bigger bases. Which is pretty simple. It's basically the bases are going from 15 inches square to 18 inches square. I haven't seen these up close, honestly, but you have, and you're saying they look ridiculous?
They're ridiculous.
Okay.
They're ridiculous.
I watched an interview with, I'm forgetting his name, but a guy who works for Major League Baseball was a big part of these rule changes being implemented. He did an interview with John Boy, and he talked about how baseball players are bigger now. Like,
yeah.
They're just, and so it's like, okay, like we've had 15 inch bases for years and years and years, right? That was put in place. I don't know how long ago. But believe it or not, Major League Baseball players are just bigger. I mean, Aaron Judge, there's nobody of that size playing in the 1950s.
They're actual athletes now instead of just guys coming off their second shift at a steel mill.
Right. Exactly. Which I think is an important thing to consider. Like we're so used to seeing the same bases year after year, and we're used to the size of the bases. And like you're saying, even though I haven't seen them up close, I think a lot of people will have that experience of like, oh, wow. They got like the jumbo version of the bases this year. But I think it makes sense. And a big part of this is simply to prevent injuries. That's been something we've seen an unfortunate amount of over the years, just, collisions on the base. There's not a whole lot of surface area there. And so when you have two very motivated people trying to get at the same
two very big motivated people
trying to get to the same target, it makes sense that you'd want this to be a little bit bigger. Theoretically, this does shorten the distance between first and second base and second and third base by about 3 inches or so. Whether or not that makes a huge difference, I don't think there's really been a whole lot of evidence to say that makes a huge difference. But hey, I mean, how many times have you watched a replay where like an inch or two?
Yeah, like it's bang,
right?
Bang. So who knows?
Yeah. So I think it's possible that, you know, some of those plays on the margins could, favor base runners instead of the defender, which is another thing that I don't think anyone has a problem with, right? We're all about base running and stolen bases and the whole thing. This should just continue to accentuate that. If anything, I've also heard the bases are slanted more. I don't know if you can speak to like, did the shape appear any different to you?
I think when you broaden the base, it just, it naturally has to change the shape of it.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
I think that's pretty much it. Okay. It's like, it's basically just a regular base, just big.
Okay.
And so the proportions have changed a little bit. Yeah, like I said, I'm down for the idea of it. I just think they look so ridiculous.
It's just
laughably big. But, when you think about exciting plays in baseball, you think about, go back to the ALCS with Dave Roberts, pinch running. Everybody in the entire world knew he was going to steal that base.
Yeah.
And he did it anyways.
Right.
It was
right.
So much fun. I love base running.
It's one of the best.
Even if it increases it just even slightly,
yeah,
like 1% more stolen bases, then I am all for it.
Yeah. I mean, the pickoff restrictions will probably do considerably more for, kind of improving the run environment than this will. But still, yeah, I mean, if this contributes to that, then great, right? And nobody has any problem with that. I feel like in some ways, like getting used to the bigger bases will be sort of like as we've all gotten used to like bigger iPhones, like smartphones are just kind of enormous now. like if you showed someone in 2010, like an iPhone 14 Pro Max, they'd be like, no, I'm not putting that large of an object in my pocket and like carrying it around with me everywhere.
And now we're fine with it.
Yeah. And Apple continues to make phones about, I don't know, half an inch bigger, like every 2 years. So
more cameras, more.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about where it's going. Like, at a certain point, do we need to make like huge pockets in clothing in order to like accommodate the size of our smartphones? But with time, I think people will adjust and things will probably be all right on that front. As far as rule changes that might be coming, not something we have in place for 2023, but there has been a lot of reports, and we saw this in the Arizona Fall League. This was put into practice in the Arizona Fall League, just at Salt River Fields, and I guess they played a few games at Chase Field as well. The ball strike challenge system, which is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen.
So good.
What's your impression of it? Why do you love it so much?
I love holding umpires accountable.
I think everyone likes holding umpires accountable.
If you've known me for a while, one thing you know is I do not like umpires. I do not like refs. I don't like any of it. I am I was going to say I'm not ashamed to say it, but I am a little ashamed to say it. I once got kicked out of a Boys and Girls Club basketball game because I was arguing with a ref. I do not like refs and umpires at all. So I am so glad to hold them accountable. And if you watch the game at Salt River Fields this fall league, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, pat your head, challenge. The entire dugout goes crazy. You see it on the screen. It's so much fun. I love it. Even just from a pure entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
It's fun. I love it.
Everyone in the stands is just like, I don't know, at a baseball game, you can kind of get in, you know, you're talking with people, you know, you're eating your hot dog and whatnot. You're not necessarily dialed into the game action at every moment. But when that, you know, hitter or I guess catchers and pitchers can do it too, managers cannot do it, which I think is an interesting part of this. But yeah, when you have people, you know, indicate that they want to challenge by tapping their heads, it's like everyone is just locked
into
the game at that point.
It's great. And, you know, it depends on the umpire too. Like there were some games where I was at a game where an umpire lost what 4 challenges in a row.
Yeah.
I was at another one.
Humbling experience.
Yeah, I was at another one where the umpire held up the entire time. So it's an interesting little fold in a baseball game. And you know, like we said earlier, the more fun you interject in baseball, the better. Like who's
totally.
Gonna argue against people having fun at a baseball game? Other than like the wave, I'm not but you know,
that's
like,
another topic.
Have fun, you know, make baseball fun. Baseball is the greatest game in the world. I love baseball more than anything in this entire world. And so getting more people into it, like I am all for it.
That's why we have you on the show, Daniel. I think it was great. It was, I mean, the first day I saw it, I was like, oh, this works. Like this is totally what they should do. And at least for me, it's kind of a newer development. We've been talking about robo umps for years, right? But I actually I spoke with Jordan Lawler, with the D-backs top shortstop prospect, about this after the fall league. He said he likes the challenge system more. Robotic umps is just kind of, I don't know, stale and impersonal. Yeah. Like the umpire at that point has a sad job where they're just like relaying what the computer said. It's not nearly as interesting.
And also the technology just quite isn't there yet.
Yeah.
You know, what was it, 2 years ago in the Arizona Fall League where it was rough?
Did they use robo umps in the Fall League 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
The season before this last season was that it was at Salt River Fields.
It was entirely robot. Yeah. Wow.
It was rough.
So was it like guys just didn't agree with the calls a lot of the time?
I think a lot of people didn't agree with the calls.
Interesting.
yeah, like I said, the technology, the idea is there, the technology was not.
I mean, was it like, was, how egregious are we talking?
There was,
talking
there were like some, 6 feet there were outside, some, yeah, there were some outside. Horrendous calls.
That's,
and I remember, you know, like dugouts going crazy, like the crowds going, what little crowd there is going crazy. And the umpires is like, I don't know what to do, man. Like it's
the poor umpire is still getting yelled at, even though he's not even.
And he's like, I know it wasn't a strike, but it's like, it's in here, but
right.
So I have to do it. So, you know, I love that this system eliminates that.
Yeah.
There's still a human element, which is fun. I like it. As much as I dislike umpires, I like that there's still a little bit of a human element, but then you can also hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the perfect balance. Like,
yeah,
the,
I love
happy
it.
Medium.
And what you get 3 a game.
You get 3 a game, but you keep them if you're right.
Yeah. And it's great. I think, you know, when I was at an Arizona Fall League game, I'd be sitting there, you know, taking pictures and then uploading on my phone. And then I see, you know, the challenge, I drop my phone and like watch it. Like, it's great. I love it.
It was just so cool. Like you said, there's still some improvements in the technology. I think even for the challenge system to be put in play, they need to make sure that's fully dialed in before they put that into play. But it sounds like from what I've heard, it's close. The technology is close. Maybe, I don't know, maybe next year we would be at the point where if they wanted to, they could implement that as part of Major League Baseball. I suspect it might take a little bit longer than that, just to get buy-in from everyone and, you know, for that to officially happen in the big leagues. But it sounds like there's a lot more momentum for this than just for straight robo-ups.
Yeah.
They tried that in the minor leagues and kind of like what you're talking about with the Fall League, it was not particularly popular. Even if the technology was good, I get the sense that it's like, no, like I want there to be kind of a human element.
Yeah.
I just want the ability to like maybe make some corrections in some of the bigger moments in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, if you disagree with a call, it's not as fun to argue with a robot as it is with an actual person. Like, I'll argue with Angel Hernandez all day, right? Like it's a fun, I think it's a great fix for a problem. Cause you know, if you follow like the umpire tracker, right? You know, the umpires that Twitter account, what I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Gave me a new respect for umpires. They, you know, they don't miss as many calls as you think they do.
Right.
And so this system really allows you to change the few that they actually do miss.
Right.
As opposed to just taking it all away from the umpires.
Yeah. It's not a job that a human being can do.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
It's not, it's just not, it's and neither is being an NBA referee or an NFL referee, but like even more so in baseball when you're, you know, making these calls on balls and strikes 250 times.
Yeah, you're going to miss
a game. You're going to miss a few. It's inevitable. And I think most of the time it doesn't matter and we're fine with it. But every once in a while, there's, you know, a big call and a big moment. And if we have the technology to fix it, then maybe let's do that. Nicholas says an ump could visually see in real time the strike zone they are setting with this and make in-game corrections. It's an excellent idea.
I think that's a great point that I hadn't even thought about. Right?
Yeah.
It's they can make adjustments. Players are expected to make adjustments. Coaches are made to make adjustments. Why not apply that to umpires? Right.
That's a great point. Yeah, I haven't thought about that. That's a great point. Transitioning here, what's your favorite piece of furniture in your house outside of the ping pong table?
Outside of the ping pong table. I have a pretty comfortable couch.
Pretty
big,
comfortable
big,
couch?
Big fan of my couch.
Okay. Well, if you're looking for an extraordinary couch, be sure to check out our friends over at More Furniture. I'm moving into a townhouse shortly. Here in a couple weeks. Exciting stuff. I have a lot of furniture to purchase. I'll definitely be hitting up our friends over at More Furniture. And you can save big on the best furniture in the valley when you head over to morefurniture.com. Those lovely recliners, Danielle, that you've seen in our office, they are all from More Furniture and they are absolutely delightful. So,
man, you had to peel me away from those before the show.
Yeah, yeah. Danielle might have just hung out there in the recliners the entire time. I was fortunately able to drag her over here so that we could do this. But yeah, going back, just kind of final thoughts here on some of the rule changes and things coming to baseball in 2023. My expectation is just that, like, it's just going to be fun. Like, I just think it's going to be fun. Baseball has made some changes here and there over the years. But at the end of the day, they haven't done anything like this. Like, this is more change than we've seen, at least in 1 year. Arguably ever. Like, I don't know if baseball's ever made like these big of changes, and I think there's probably more to come. I'm just excited for, you know, spring training when everyone's going to be angry and everyone's going to be violating the rules, and you know, there's going to be some growing pains with this, but in the long run, I feel pretty strongly that this is going to be better for baseball in the end.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, spring training is way too long, right? But now it feels great. Like
they might need it to be a little longer.
Yeah,
Zach Gallen might need to a little bit longer to figure some things out.
Get all your grumpiness out, get all your arguing out of the way, and then once the regular season starts, once opening day hits, we're ready to roll.
There you go. There you go. Well, thank you all for joining us here in this Friday live edition of the PHNX D-Back Show. This is like the second ever live show that we've done on a Friday. Usually Fridays are audio only, but for this point forward, you're going to have to look at our faces. Or I guess you don't have to. You could still listen on audio, but you can look at our faces if you want to on Friday. We love interacting with you in the comments. If you haven't already, be sure to drop a like on this video. It helps out the YouTube algorithm, which Danielle, we're all about helping out
the
YouTube algorithm, which I've said on 3 straight shows now, but I'm going to continue saying it. Also, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, wherever you get your podcasts, leaving us a 5-star review. Helps the audio podcasting world algorithm, I think.
All about those algorithms, baby.
It also just kind of helps my general self-esteem as well as Derek's self-esteem. So we would really appreciate it if you would do that for us. Thank you all once again for being here on this final edition this week of the PHNX D-Back Show. Thank you to Danielle or Derek, I guess, as I should say. There we go. Sunglasses back on. The hat's back on.
Let's talk wrestling, baby.
We appreciate Danielle hopping on with us today. We appreciate you for listening or joining us here on video. I guess I should say Twitter handles real quick. Yours is at
Abracadanielle.
Abracadanielle. I knew I was going to butcher that. Mine is at Jesse N. Friedman. You can follow our show account at PHNX_DBACKS, but of course, all roads lead to PHNX_sports. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks again, everyone, for your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's even more fun when you ban the shit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.